We answer that question every time we make our profession of faith. When we recite the creed, we alternate between the Apostolic Creed, which was traditionally the baptismal profession of faith in the Church of Rome in the first century, or the Nicene Creed, the longer, more sophisticated one. The Nicene Creed was adopted by the Church in the year 325 in the Council of Nicaea in Turkey, and it was amended a few years later in Constantinople, also Turkey, today, present-day Istanbul. Every word in that creed has been well thought of. And it's the answer to the question, who is Jesus? So what do we say in that Nicene Creed? We say that he is one Lord, Jesus Christ. We say these words, Lord Kyrios, a title that was reserved only to the Caesar in those days, and Christos, the Messiah. And then we go on by saying, the only begotten Son of God. He is the one born of the Father before all ages. He is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. We say he is begotten, not made. He is consubstantial with the Father. Consubstantial, it's a word that came back in the new translation of the Missal in 2011. It translates homoousios in Greek, of the same substance. In other words, God himself. Very difficult expression, theological expressions, but everything is actually summarized in that sign, the fish sign. It was used by the early Christians as a symbol of faith to identify the places where they met, to distinguish friend from foe. Why? Because the word fish in Greek is ichthus, and that is an acronym, an abbreviation of those words you see to the left. Jesus Christos Theos Uios Soter, which translate Jesus Christ of God the Son, Savior. So that's why still today many Christians have that bumper sticker on their car. It does not refer to the multiplication of the fish and loaves, but it harkens back to the time when it was used as an acronym for the profession of faith, for the answer to the question, who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Son of God, and Savior. And these are the words that Peter said when Jesus asked, who do you say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. People spoke of Jesus and they had a very high opinion of him. They said, he is Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He is John the Baptist. Make no mistake about it. These are great, incredible answers. People sensed that Jesus was more than a rabbi, more than a teacher like the others. And so they say he's like Elijah, the greatest of all prophets of the Old Testament, come back to life. He's like Jeremiah, also a giant of the prophetic tradition. Or they say he's John the Baptist, the reincarnation, so to speak, of the great revolutionary who had stood up to King Herod and paid with his life. So what people say about Jesus is incredible, is amazing. And yet, it's not enough. And so Jesus asks Peter and the other apostles, who do you say that I am? And as Paul says in today's second reading, we can't really figure out God's ways. They are beyond us, unscrutable, But Peter has a grace, a revelation. The Father, through the Holy Spirit, reveals to him who Jesus is. And he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Brothers and sisters, this is the fundamental question of our faith. If Jesus is who he says he is, the Messiah, the Savior, the Anointed One, and the Son of God, God himself, then knowing him and having a relationship with him is the most fundamental aspect of our life. Pope Benedict wrote once, "Being a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice or lofty ideas. It's the encounter with a person, with Christ." According to recent polls, however, most American Catholics don't even believe possible having a personal relationship with Christ. This is astounding. It's the fundamental question of our faith, the fundamental dimension of our spirituality, having a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God himself. I'm surprised when I meet former Catholics who have joined other denominations. And oftentimes I hear they say, "I met Christ when I joined such and such denomination." Being Catholic to them was only a matter of morals, more or less keeping the commandments, and rituals, Mass and the sacrament. That's it. But my brothers and sisters, the relationship with Christ is everything of the Christian life. Without it, there is no Christian life. And so we are also invited, challenged to discover the identity of Christ and to embrace a full personal relationship with him. Now, having identified who Jesus is, the tables are turned on Peter. He answered, "Who do you say that I am?" But now the question becomes, "Who does Jesus say that you are, Peter?" "Simon, son of Jonah, you are Kephas, Petros, Peter, the rock." Yes, Jesus is giving Peter and his successors, the popes, a special primacy, a special role in the church. You know, the rock, the keys to bind and to loose. These are specific, the specific mission of the Pope. However, I believe that Jesus is speaking to all of us when he says, "You are the rock." If you find Christ, if you establish a relationship with him, then you are transformed. You become like Peter, a living stone for the spiritual building of the church. Peter himself, in the first letter, chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says that those who are being called by Christ become like living stones that make up the spiritual building of the church. In other words, once we have established this relationship with Christ, we become builders of the church. Once we have become disciples of Christ, then we become missionaries for Christ. See, this is a phrase that the Pope continually uses. We are missionary disciples. Missionary disciples. First disciples, having a relationship with Christ, but then we cannot keep it to ourselves. And so we go out and build the church with it. We become missionaries. This brings to mind the story of St. Francis of Assisi. At the beginning of his conversion, as he wandered in the countryside around the city of Assisi, he passed by a dilapidated chapel, the chapel of St. Damien, And he felt the urge to go inside. And by the crucifix, he heard a voice saying, "Francis, repair my church, which is in ruins." He thought that God was calling him to repair that chapel. And that's what he did. He began to gather stones and put them together with mortar to repair that chapel. But then he understood that God wanted more from him, not just to rebuild that chapel, those walls, but indeed to build the church. And so once we have discovered who Jesus Christ is and have a relationship with him, then we become builders of the church. We become the living stones of this spiritual building, which is the church. And therefore, we fulfill what Jesus himself said in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. The wise man is the one that builds his house on rock. And the rock, brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ. Yes, Peter is called the rock, but only because he has met, encountered, he has embraced a personal, deep relationship with Jesus Christ. So let us today accept this challenge ourselves, this invitation to discover who Jesus Christ is, to have a personal relationship with him, and in doing so, to become ourselves the spiritual stones for the building of the church.